all three of the scripture lessons that we just heard from Isaiah, from Matthew, from Romans, all three of these readings offer us insight into God's expansive vision for the beloved community that He seeks to have embodied by those who follow Him, by those who recognize Him, by those who worship Him. Given the times in which we now live, given the loud voices and chants that especially over this past week we have heard attempting to make a mockery of the beloved community, seeking to sow division rather than foster reconciliation, these lessons offer us an opportunity to reflect upon and rededicate ourselves to the work of building and being that beloved community. That ongoing work is work that each of us has the opportunity to take part in. Whether you are starting kindergarten or finishing college, whether you are starting your first job or enjoying retirement or somewhere in between, in your school, at your work, in your home, each of these are places of community. And by your participation in them, you have the opportunity to be a witness of God's vision of the beloved community. By embodying love, promoting peace, and speaking truth in each of these places, you share the good news and offer testimony to God's extraordinary vision. In Isaiah, God provides insight into His vision for the beloved community as He shares the good news that the salvation and deliverance that He will bring about is not only for His chosen people, the Jews, but that God will also share His salvation beyond the people of Israel to all who come to love the name of the Lord. And so we find in Isaiah a prophecy of a day when God will bring both Jew and Gentile to His holy mountain, so that, as we heard, God's house will be a house of prayer for all peoples. In Matthew, we have one of several stories within the Gospels where Jesus makes it clear that the good news that He brings of God's beloved community is not only for the Jews, but to be shared with the wider world. In this particular case, with the courageously persistent Canaanite woman, who thereby takes her place in that prophesied house of prayer for all peoples. In Romans, Paul writes from a different perspective, one where the good news is already being widely shared with the Gentiles, so much so that he feels compelled to answer the question of whether God has now rejected the Jewish people, whether God's beloved community no longer includes those who initially formed it. And Paul makes it clear that the gifts and calling upon the people of Israel are irrevocable. And so God's unique historical relationship with the Jewish people continues. So I have been in that position before, and I appreciate that, both sides of that. So God's unique historical relationship with the Jewish people continues. Through these readings, we see that Jews and Gentiles, all God's people continue to have a significant role in God's unfolding revelation of the beloved community that has been called to follow him. Through the unfolding revelation of God's character found in Holy Scripture, we see that God's vision for the beloved community is both expansive and expanding. It is not the tale of an increasingly exclusive place for the privileged few, but rather the story of God's revelation is the story of an ever-inclusive house of prayer that continuously is opening itself up to all people. We live in a time when loud voices seek to challenge this expansive vision of the beloved community, either by promoting heretical notions of racial or ethnic superiority, or by loudly arguing that people of different skin colors or of different religious backgrounds cannot live together in peace. And though those troublesome voices have grown particularly loud, particularly emboldened in recent weeks and months, they are not new to this world. Instead, they are, as sin and evil tends to be, a persistent reality. In the gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman is preceded by the words of instruction about the important role that our words, our speech, what comes out of our mouths, play in either lifting up or tearing down, in defiling or blessing. We cannot control the speech of others, but we have the ability to control our own speech, to communicate with others, such that our words are a blessing to others rather than a curse, so that our words can work to build and bless the beloved community rather than tear it down and defile it. In a few moments, we will have the opportunity to use our words as a blessing. We will ask the children that are gathered here today to come forward, with the teachers and school workers that we have here as well, and to come forward to this altar, to this sacred space. And we will ask God's blessing to be upon them, upon the bags that they will carry with them to school, upon the teachers and school workers to whom these students and others like them are entrusted. As we stand together in this place, this house of prayer for all peoples, we will use our words to bless, and we will seek to build a community through that blessing, knowing that as we pray for these young people, we are sending them out into the world to be a blessing. We will pray that you, the children who are gathered here today, that you will have the courage to be a blessing, that your words will be used to build community, to promote peace, to speak the truth in love, for through your continuing lives and witness, you will write the next chapter in the unfolding story of God's expansive and expanding vision for his beloved community.